Joshua chapter 11 verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you all, my dear family and friends in Christ. We thank the Lord for this time of fellowship. May the name of the Lord is glorified in the midst of us today. The book of Joshua is reminding us what the Lord promised to Moses and his people was fulfilled in the days of Joshua. When the land was possessed, it was divided as inheritance and given back to the tribes of Israel. But what is important here is, even after the inheritance unto Israel was divided according to the tribes, the verse ends by saying, the land rested from war. It is still the land. That inheritance, that partaking, that divisions could not change the name of that land, which is singular, into lands or multiple portions of the land, but rather it is called the land. Blessed be the name of the Lord. By the grace of God, today we will meditate on 5 examples from the scripture concerning this partaking, dividing, inheriting, but yet it remains the same. Similar to how you take the light from the candle, the fire remains the fire, and the Lord is looking at all of us. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, and we all received him. Just because all of us received him as our personal savior doesn't mean that you can divide him, for there is only one God, one savior, one Lord, one true living God. We cannot divide him, even because that we love him so much. We introduced multiple doctrines in the last 2000 years. Many denominations were formed. Many cults were formed. Many divisions were formed. Even those who believe in the scripture, they do not believe in one another. They do not love one another, but they love God. How come the denominations were formed, divisions happened? How come the fruit of the Holy Ghost was compromised in every single such division, but yet everyone believed that it is the leading from the Lord? When Joshua gave the land, the land remained the land, but the tribes occupied the land according to their measure from the sight of the Lord, in the will of the Lord, because Joshua 11:23 is what we understand from the scripture, my grace is sufficient to thee. So the land remains the land, the Lord remains the Lord, no one is increasing him, no one is decreasing him, no one is dividing him, no one is changing him, because he was, he is to come. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. Book of Joshua, the land represents what could happen to all of us in the days to come. New Testament, the warning, the spiritual battle, the warning that we will all have to receive from the book of Joshua is the land rested from war. But verse 18 says, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. Every single king who were against the peace of the people of Israel, Joshua was fighting the battle for a long time. Like how Gabriel said to Daniel, consider the vision, but the vision is for many days. The battle of righteousness is going on. It is going on for many days according to the will of the Lord in his grace. Now, What the Lord promised Moses, the purpose was fulfilled by Joshua. It is a type, a blessed inspiration for all of us to remember. The Son of God fulfilled the will of God. The Son of David fulfilled the will of the Father. Same as Solomon finished what David started, Joshua finished what Moses started. We can see this inspiration throughout the scripture. The apostles finished what Jesus Christ started. The messengers finishes their work, what the mediator of the covenant started. He is the first, he is the last, he is the beginning, and he is the end. The Alpha and the Omega. The all in all. And the Lord says, if the land was divided, but yet the land is called the land, then what is the division represents? In flesh, in carnality, in this body, on this earth. For us, the word division means it is separated. Each one will have to possess a piece of it. That is because of our limitations of our physical mind, that what we see the land on this earth, where people are fighting for the land, many countries killing each other, nations are collapsing because of the greedy mind to possess earthly treasure. But this blessed rest, promised land, which is spiritual, heavenly, can we increase him? Can we decrease him? Can we really own him, that I own him? Or he wants us? Who is the creator? The creation cannot behave like a creator. The creator is who he is. From this example, number one, of Joshua 11:23, let us turn our scriptures to Matthew 26:26. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 26, example number two, for all of us to reflect our life today. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. Remember this, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. And he took the bread and he blessed it. He must bless that bread. If not, there is no life in it. We all can speak about the scripture, but that bread must be anointed by the Spirit of God. If not, there is no life in those words. The bread must be blessed by the Blessed One, for blessed is he. If he did not bless that bread, and that bread, it is not the bread of life. And he break it. Why he break it? Because the Lord knows how much we can handle. He knows, he weighs us in soul, spirit, body. He knows how much we can take it, because he wants to give us the grace. And that grace is sufficient. The mother knows how to feed the child. She would not overfeed. She would not make the child to starve in hunger. She knows how to feed, because she loves the child more than her life. God is gracious. He is the provider. He knows exactly what we can handle, what we can possess, what we can inherit, and what we can keep without losing our salvation, without going against our faith, without wavering, without being overly righteous or completely wicked. The Lord knows how to maintain the balance of us remaining as his children, steadfast. And he says, he gave it to the disciples. He did not give it to the Pharisees or Sadducees or the noble or people of the world, but he gave it to the disciples who follow him faithfully, humbly, sincerely, genuinely, to give all the confidence in him, to obey him, to trust him, to be ruled by his agape, to those disciples, faithful followers of Jesus Christ, to whom he called them as friends. He gave it to them and he said, take. He did not force to feed in their mouth. He said, take it if you are willing. Take it. He even told us, if you follow me, take up your cross. And now he's telling, take this bread. Take the bread, take the cross. So we are naturally inclined to take the bread, and we are naturally resisting struggling to take up the cross, because flesh is weak, spirit is willing. But the fellowship of his suffering is what makes us to be closer with him, to be the heavenly partakers of his calling. And the Lord says, take this bread and eat it. This is my body. So now, whenever we read the scripture, we speak about the scripture, we preach the gospel of peace, we share the testimony with one another, have we asked ourselves, examined our heart, is this bread blessed by the life? Because he is the life. Is it anointed by the Spirit of God? Or is it done for the sake of pleasing people? For the sake of holding our own integrity, our honor? The Lord says, it must be blessed. It must be anointed by his Spirit. If not, it is not the bread of life. And then he says, if you are willing, if you are able, be a man. Like how the Lord spoke to Job, be a man and take it. Let it be something that you decided in your own will, because we are created in his image and in his likeness. The Lord would never force his children. He said, do it willingly, cheerful heart, perfect submission, joy, peace, without compromising the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is the burden for me to share. How come the fruit of the Holy Ghost is completely forgotten in things that has been spoken, that has been done? How come the fruit of the Holy Ghost is ignored in coming to a conclusion that this is the right thing to do so? My precious, dear family of God, in whatever we do, in whatever we say, the moment the fruit of the Holy Ghost is compromised there, there is no anointing of that bread. If there is no anointing upon that bread, and that bread is not the bread of life. And verse 27, he says, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, not some of it, not a part of it. He said, all of it. He broke the bread, he gave it to us according to the portion that is grace, and he gave it, the drink, to all of us. But he said, don't waste it, don't reduce it, don't increase it, all of it. That is exactly what you read in the book of Joshua 11. The whole land, all of it, the whole land. Truth, nothing but the whole truth, nothing more, nothing less, not anything added, not something removed, because he is who he is, I am who I am. Now, the Lord says, the bread must be blessed, it is divided according to the portion, what the people can handle without losing their faith and confidence and trust in him to hold on to the salvation, the eternal life. And then he says, drink ye into the Spirit, all of it, submit to it with joy, peace, confidence, and absolute assurance of the Lord's divine promises. Yield to it, all of it, the whole land, whole truth. Now, from Joshua's land to Jesus Christ's body, from Old Testament to New Testament. But crucifixion is not done yet. Death is not done yet. Resurrection, not done yet, because we are in Matthew 26. Let's go to the third example, Matthew 27. What happens in the world today? Matthew 27, verse 35. They crucified him, that body of Christ, which he promised in the previous chapter, eat my body, this is my body. But he said it is blessed, because he is the blessed one, the holy one, the anointed one. In the river of Jordan, God spoke, this is my beloved son, in whom my fullness dwells in him. And he was so pleased. And that anointing, the Lord says, the bread is blessed by that anointing. The body is blessed by that anointing. God was manifest in flesh and justified in spirit. And that blessed event. And the Lord is going through a crucifixion. What happens? People take ownership of him, thinking that they can do whatever they want. They felt the entitlement to do so, and they crucified him and parted his garments. Now the garments are divided, not the body, and they were casting lots so that they can insult him, put him into shame, and they parted his garments among them, and his vesture they cast lots. It shows what he went through, the shame that he endured for you and me, But it can happen today whenever we forsake him, profane his name, and we are those people who crucify him and who cast lots to fight for his garment, to claim who is what. Matthew 26, 27 and 27, 35 is the two extreme sides of the double-edged sword. The Lord is glorified on one side and the Lord is profaned on the other side. Let's come to the third example, which is Gospels speaks the life of Christ. And from Book of Acts, we can see the ministry of the apostolic faith, which is given to them by the Lord. And verse 32 says, after the Holy Ghost was given, apostles are performing the work of the Lord, and people are receiving the name of the Lord. Verse 32 says, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Joshua's land, Jesus' body, Jesus' garment. Now, the children of God who are united in the apostolic faith, they had all things in common. They spoke like one, they thought like one, they did everything like one. They could demonstrate the mind of Christ, the body of Christ, the love of Christ, the life of Christ, the spirit of Christ in them as one. They were not divided, but they were all glorifying the name of the Lord as the family of God, like how the land remained the land, but yet it was given as a portion to the tribe of Israel. And that continues to verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the blessed rest, the Lord of my Sabbath, and great grace was upon them all. Not any grace, great grace from the great God Almighty was upon them. Greater is he who is in me than who is in the world. And this example shows what happened next, which is verse 34. Neither was there any among them, the family of God, the fellowship of God, the true fellowship of God, united by the agape of God, not by the favoritism, partiality of our own flesh, but the flesh, the body of Jesus Christ. As many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And the distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. How deep these words are. The Lord says, whatever the worldly thoughts and division that you have in your heart and mind that created your very own land, the land that was made of dust, no life, the Lord says, sell it to the vanity. Whatever has to be in the vanity, give it back to the vanity. Bring the things of eternity when we go and meet the eternal life for which we are holding on to. And the Lord says, hold on to me. Whatever that is sandals, like how the Lord told Moses, come to me with your barefoot. Don't come to me with your sandal. It doesn't belong to me. He did not create it along with Moses. Moses was not made with the sandals. Moses was a beautiful child of God, fearfully, wonderfully made by the hands of God, like all of us today. And the Lord says, are you inherited? Are you possessing that blessed land which can never be profaned? Fifth example, where it was profaned. Acts chapter 5. Here, when two flesh agree together as one flesh, like husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira, they could not discern what's happening to each other because they were one in flesh, they were not one in spirit. And one was deceived by the other because of the pure love between them for one another. And in that love, husband fell first, and 3 hours later, the wife fell. Now, what says here, Peter said, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Blessed be the name of the Lord. May the Lord speak to our hearts. Which land that it represents? Is it Joshua 11 verse 23? Or is it Matthew 26, verse 26? Or is it Matthew 27, verse 35? The garment, the body, the land, which one? Keep back part of the price of the land. When Peter spoke that, verse 5, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. The flesh fell in front of the spirit, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. But the previous chapter talks about great grace. Now it comes to great fear. And after that, verse 7, and it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. She could not feel what was done because they were united in flesh, not in spirit. And when she came in, Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. How did you misuse the work of the Lord? How did you misuse the name of the Lord? How did you take advantage of this in your own personal, ambitious, dishonest gain? When the question was asked, the flesh manifested lie. She lied again. Because in the presence of God, flesh will tremble, will be uncovered to the deepest of its nakedness. She lied. It was not the whole truth. When she lied, the Bible says, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? That is the unity of Tower of Babel, rebelling against the work of the Lord, and the Lord scattered them. Same here. And to tempt the Spirit of the Lord, behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. But this feet, my precious dear family of God, we remember the scripture, how beautiful is the feet of the brethren who preach the gospel of peace. But here Apostle Peter says, the feet of them waiting at the door who buried your husband are going to bury you, they will carry you out. Verse 10, when he said that, she fell down straight away at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in, found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband, the flesh even after death, united. From dust you came, and to dust you shall return. They were united in flesh, they were also united in death. Unity in flesh is unity in death, my dear family of God. Let us be careful. Any unity that is achieved by the fleshful thoughts, that is against the fruit of the Holy Ghost, is death, will be united in death. But that death will be destroyed in the lake of fire. Verse 11, the great fear came upon all the church, upon as many as heard these things. Great grace, great fear, all the church. And Jesus Christ said, drink ye all of it. May the Lord speak to our hearts. From these 5 examples, where do we stand today? When we stand before Him, how He see every one of us. God bless you all. Shalom. We shall meet again tomorrow by the grace of God. Amen.